I thank you for it, God, and we claim that right now because you said somewhere in your word it would not go out and come back void. It will produce what you have sent it forth to do. Bless us now as we speak. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 And amen. Ushers, you may take your seat. Allow me a liberty here, if you will, before I get started so I won't forget this and get myself in more trouble than I'm already in. This week, on Wednesdays in Bible study, we have a special guest who's going to come and talk to us about diabetes. And where I stand, I know that we need that instruction. Education is one of the best things that we can have to defeat this epidemic that's within us. And y'all have to excuse me. I'm just standing here, and I know what I'm supposed to be doing. But we have, as of from my observation of 70, that we have a slave mentality about food. We think whatever we see, and if I have eaten it before, I can continue to eat it like I always did, and especially my brothers. We cannot do that, and education is what will stop us from doing that. And I say that, and a lot of you know where I'm going now. For 10 or 12 or 13 or 14 years, I took medicine for diabetes. To God be the glory. I take nothing now, and I give God all the credit. And I'm not a medical doctor. I'm not disputing them. They think that you cannot, once you start become a diabetic, you cannot get away from it. But I beg to differ. I beg to differ because of this God that I know. And more than anything else, I'm a living witness. Checked it this morning, it was 89. Check it every day. Every day. But I take nothing for diabetes. But I also watch what I eat. My wife tell me I'm deceiving some of you because I talk about eating. I love to eat. And I still eat basically just about the same things I was eating then. But I remember a young lady, Sister Cooper, I don't remember what her name is, but she came here and she taught us on diabetes. She said, you can eat anything you want in moderation. Wherein I used to, when I get banana pudding, if I got one of them little red cups, whole 16 ounces, I would fill it up. Now I don't put it half full. That's all I eat. I talk about it because I eat it up here. I know how it used to taste, and it still tastes good. I can eat one right now in that red cup. And before I dipped it out of that bowl, that Pyrex bowl that was in, it had a little curl at the top where the meringue had been cooked, and it turned brown just a little bit. Dip me out a spoon of that, put it in that cup, and then eat it. And when I put the spoon in my mouth, I turn it over and lick it with my tongue on the way out. And you talking about good. That's good. But you got to do it in moderation. That one spoonful or two spoonful is all I'm going to eat. But you have to do it within moderation. And you can't do it every day. Every day. So show up at 10 o'clock Sunday or Wednesday morning and at 6 o'clock Wednesday afternoon. And the young lady is gonna do the presentation. She's a friend of ours and she's coming here to do something, and so she wants to help us too. And so just come and invite anyone else you know that wanna come. And after she finishes, if she finished within 15 minutes, y'all know I'm not going to let you go in 15 minutes, so then I'm going to teach Bible study. Amen? All right. I'm sorry I didn't do that before. I must be about my Father's business. And you got to know what your Father have for you to do. When we accept an assignment or an appointment or a job from God, you can rest assured the enemy gets busy at that very moment. From the moment that you decide to live for Christ and that nothing will detour you, then you can rest assured that you are getting ready for a fight from all sides. The Bible tells us to love our neighbor as ourselves, and he also tells us to love our enemy. And he tells us that probably because most of the time, yeah, it's the same person. That's your neighbor and your enemy, so you got to just love them anyhow. Only someone who is close to you can hurt you worse than anyone else. That's why sometimes when you get hurt in church, it's hard to get over. But you got to forgive as our Lord and Savior did for us. Two of the greatest traits a person can have are those of discernment and wisdom. If a person can discern between good and evil and then make wise decisions based upon that knowledge, he or she can exercise control over his or her life. Doing good and reaping good. If you do good, you will reap good. If you do evil, you will reap that as well. You can live a fruitful and productive and victorious life if you do those things that are well. But having the ability to discern and make wise decisions, help me, Holy Ghost, does not free us from the problem or the difficulties of life. Just because you know to do good and you have knowledge and you can discern, it does not mean trouble is not going to come your way. When you make the decision to be about your Father's business, things are going to go contrary to what you would like for them to go. While we live in this corruptible world, there will always be both spiritual and human forces that will oppose us. No matter how gracious or kind we are, we may be some people. Some people will dislike you or us. They will shun you, and they want no contact with you. Some may even become bitter towards you and hating and despising us. Others may abuse and assault or seek to do bodily harm. And today, I want to just talk to you. I know normally I give you points. Don't have any today. So you have a liberty today that you don't normally have. You can make your own. This message here today is to let you know that when you start to do the will of your Father, and you do know I'm putting us all in the same household, our Father is God. You may, and some people, theologians and studies tell us that men have a problem with relating to God as being Father because we do not have not had a relationship with an earthly Father. I stop by to tell you, don't let it stop you. Just shut your eyes and know that God got your back. Talking in the passage of Nehemiah, the scheme against Nehemiah was a temptation to compromise. Brothers and sisters, have you been there? When somebody wants you to compromise on your position or whatever it is, a compromise leads you to cooperate with somebody or about something that is not in your repertoire of doing. This is a scheme often used by Satan and the enemy of the believer. If a believer can be led to compromise and cooperate with the world of this earth, the believer's testimony will soon be discredited. If I can get you to just laugh at a kind of shady, off-color joke, I'll take you all the way in the gutter on the next one. So what you need to do is when they start telling them around the water cooler, you need to find some kind of way to dismiss yourself, or unless you got enough gall to look at them eyeball to eyeball and say, I don't want to listen to that, and turn and walk away. If I can make you compromise just a little bit, that's all the devil wants you to do, is just walk away from what God wants you to do for just a little while. Don't have to stay there all the time. Just this one time, since you're in Panama City and nobody in Panama City knows you, you can do whatever. Despite all the opposition to Nehemiah and the returned Jews, all that they had accomplished, and what they had accomplished was an impossible feat. He had built the wall, or finished the wall around Jerusalem, had done everything that needed to be done except hang the gates, or hang the doors on the gate, the doors as they are called gates, hang them. But then whenever you start doing whatever thus saith the Lord, the devil will bring something to get you to leave from where you are. As long as you're staying where he needs for you to be, he will not bother with you. But if it looks like you start progressing, well, let's just say it. Let's just put it out there. I'm not talking about none of the rest of you fathers. I'm talking about me. In the yesterdays of my life, when this day would have come, I probably would have attended service, but might not have been there since Easter. If my son or my daughter was on an Easter program, I would show up just because they were on program. If that's all you do, the devil will let you do that and everything will be okay. But don't mess around and come to Bible study on Wednesday night and then show up again Sunday morning, rather at 11:30, show up at 9:15. When Sunday school starts at 9:30, he'll begin to then to bring something else to you. So he'll bring some temptation to you that you like. Mine would have been in this time of the year going fishing, trying to get on down back in on reservation on Dirt Road 231, going to Malone back in there. Get me a can of earthworms and drop it in there and try to catch me a fish. Could stay all day doing that, trying to catch a fish. But I couldn't get up and go to church with my family. I stopped by to tell you the devil will make you see that you need to do that. And what he'll do to your brothers, he got somebody else that's on his team, that's on your team, that you don't know where they are. And with me and my guys that was fishing, if I was going to church, they'd bring them by my house to let me see what they had caught. Or they would bring the deer by my house that they had killed because I didn't go with them. See, the devil works in strange ways. All you got to do is just keep doing the will of God. Now, let them bring it by my house. I'll tell them how good it looked. And if their next question is, Baggett, when are you going to go with me? I say, I may go with you sometime next week, but I won't go Sunday, and I won't go Wednesday. I might not go Thursday. If got something come up about the church and God, I won't go Monday, because I have surrendered my life to Lord God Almighty. I need to be about my Father's business, and my Father's business is telling people about the saving grace of his beloved Son. See, when you're doing just a little bit, the devil won't mess with you. But when you get to doing the will of God and the devil feel like he gonna lose a soul, he wants you to be with him. Y'all have to excuse me. When I fish, I use a 5-gallon pail, and somebody gave it to me for Christmas. They ain't got my name on it. I put some water in it, and then when I catch a fish, I drop him in the bucket. And when I drop that fish in that bucket, I leave him right there. I go back out there and I cast and I try to catch another one. If I catch another one, I put him in the same bucket. But it's one thing that I don't do. I don't go there and stand and fish in that bucket, because those that are in the bucket already caught them. That's what the devil will do for you. He won't fish for you anymore once he gets you. He'll just keep you right there. But when you are searching for souls, you have to keep fishing and keep fishing and keep telling and keep telling. And you always, the devil always, he's just like a fisherman. He just want to catch one more. One more. He never gets enough. You very seldom, Deacon Jones, I know you're a fisherman, but you don't ever, when you're out there fishing and you catching them, you don't look in your bucket and say, well, I got enough. What you say is, I want to catch one more. And so you got to stay persistent with this God. When you stay persistent with God and about your Father's business, you always find a way to keep God first in your life. Listen to me, to be about this business, you got to go and you got to do what thus saith the Lord. You can't do it like you want to do it. You got to do it just like God wants you to do it. Sanballat and Tobiah and Gresham and the Arab and the rest of the enemy. Listen, I know your Bible scholars. When you first start reading the book of Nehemiah, he didn't have but one enemy, and that was Tobiah. And here we are in the 6th chapter, and he got a whole bunch of them. They just name 3 of them, but the name all the rest of them, it said, and all the rest of the enemies. See, you got more enemies than you think you have that's trying to keep you from serving this God. You can name 1 or 2 of them, or 3 or 4 of them, but you got some enemies, and your enemy that's going to try to hurt you are those that's closest to you. That's why you need to be particular about who your friends are. I can love you with the love of God, but you can't get too close to me. I love you. I love all of you, but you ain't going to get too close to me, and you need to treat me the same way. You need to develop just like Jesus had. He had an inner circle, and the rest of the disciples was his disciples, but they could not get in the inner circle. You got to have it, even with church folks, with believers, to be about the business of your Father. Does it mean that Jesus didn't love those others? No, he loved them. He loved them, and they did it. And you need to understand that everybody in the world that's in the church, if you're working in leadership, cannot be in your inner circle. Does it mean that you don't love them? No. If I be in everybody's inner circle, then somebody else that ought to be in it can't be in it. You'll wear me out. And don't look at me funny. And most of you know I'm not in everybody's inner circle. And don't you feel bad because you're not in everybody's inner circle. Uh-oh. He just said they got special people. No, I ain't special people. I love you. And the mistake we make, we just have one inner circle. Yeah, I'm fixing to mess with you now. You got more than one. You got more than one. Uh-huh. Yeah. You got one. You got an inner circle here for if you're going to exercise, you got certain people you do that with. When you go shopping, you got certain people you do that with. When you go to eat, you got certain people you do that with. Yeah. Uh-huh. You got them too. And there's some of you that got them, and you think nobody knows that you got them. I'm glad you asked. I know you got them because I got them. And I love y'all. But there's every link in a chain serves a purpose. Every link in a chain serves a purpose. And without that link, the other link can't make it. So I need you. And you need me. But we all need to be about our Father's business. And this is what Nehemiah, he was trying to get them to see. That what you are wanting me to do, I can't do it. Because you want me to come down off this wall and come go meet you in Ono. And he said, oh no. I'm not coming down. Because what I'm doing It's too important for me to leave this task. And that's what we need to do when people try to get you. Well, it won't hurt you to miss this Sunday. You can miss a Sunday. They won't miss you. Yes, they will. If nobody else will miss you, God will miss you. Because you did not make the promise to me that you were going to serve God. You should have made it to God. You might have verbalized it to me, but the commitment should have been made to Lord God Almighty that you're going to serve Him. That's the commitment that you make. That's the business we need to be about. Don't let the physical things you do in the church become the reason why you do them. If nobody shows up Wednesday at 10 o'clock, I'm going to teach Bible study anyway. I want you to come, but if you don't come, hey, that's between you and God. If you've got choir rehearsal Monday night or Tuesday night, you don't have choir rehearsal because certain people don't show up. You have choir rehearsal, no matter who it is. I'll let you all, if I would not have shown up here today, church still would have gone on. Because then, if it does not go on because I'm not here, you are putting too much importance in Dwight Baggett, and he is not that important. If you don't believe that I will go on without you, don't afford me the opportunity, because you will find out that I will. Because we're doing what we do because of our love for God. And that's what Nehemiah was telling Tobias and when they kept sending the message. And see, the devil won't just sin at one time. He sent the same message four different times. And you need to give the same reply. I'm not coming down. What I'm doing is too important for me to come down off this wall. What you want to do is not what God wants me to do. So I'm going to do what thus saith the Lord. The people that sent that request to Nehemiah were fellow Jews. They were the same nationality that he was. But they had been there longer than he had been there, and they had established a network whereby they were in control of everything with the walls down and the doors out of place. So Nehemiah had put it up and had stopped them from making the bounty or the money that they were going to make. And they wanted to get him out of the way. I know you're saying, well, I'm not in a position like that. Well, you don't know how the rest of us see what you're doing. You may be in the way. You may hold a position that I want. I may want to be head deacon. You may think nobody wants to be that. I may want to be the president of the WIAs or the president of the pickup papers or whatever. Somebody wants to be that. And they'll do whatever it takes to get to that position. But you got to know that what you're doing is because of the love of God. And Nehemiah said, what I am doing is too important to come down off the wall. Because you have an intent to do me harm because of the things that you've done before. We need to be about our Father's business. They did not want the wall to be completely replenished because it would have stopped them from doing what they were doing. Nehemiah wouldn't go down to them, but he left the door open for them to come to Jerusalem. See, you got to leave your enemies a way where if he's serious about what he or she says, then you give them the opportunity. I'm not coming down. He didn't tell them, I won't meet you in Jerusalem. In here where I am. If you are so concerned about meeting with me, come where I am and let's have a meeting. If you won't come where I am and I have to come where you are, then that's kind of scary because before you were my enemy. What made me think that you're going to be my friend now? So I need to get you on my turf. Not your turf. Get you on my turf where I have the advantage. And if you will come then, your intent is different. And Nehemiah left it just like that. Now, let's fast forward to 12 years after the birth of the Messiah. Luke chapter 2, verse 49 and 50. Here Jesus has been with his family to fulfill a religious obligation of going into manhood. 12 years old, going to the temple on the Passover time. These are the first recorded words of Jesus in the Bible. This is the first time of the recognition according to what's written instead of folklores about him being the Messiah. He was at an early age. So you don't have to wait till you get old and gray. You can do it while you're young and come to Christ. This is what he did. He stayed there with his parents during all the time that they were there. And when they left without him. And I thought about this morning that Joseph and Mary in today's time probably would have been, child neglect, because they left him there for 3 days and he was not under supervision according to them and according to now. But we know he was under supervision. When they came back after those 3 days and found him in the temple, he told them, and what he said was in 2:49 and 50, that I must be about my Father's business. Now, if you will, just imagine this. Imagine Jesus sitting there with the lawyers and the doctors and talking to them, and Mary and Joseph come up, and she says him something like this: "Son, do you understand what you've done? You put us through this. Your father and I, we've been looking for you, and here you are back here. You were not with us. Don't you know that I had to be about my Father's business?" Now, picture this now. Joseph is standing right there, and he's saying, "I had to be about my Father's business." Brothers, how many of you, the hair rolled up on the back of your neck? Here Joseph is hearing him say he had to be about his Father's business, and Joseph's business was carpentry. But he had to be about his Father's business. I had to be about my Father's business. He put ownership to it. This is my father, and I had to be about his business. And his business was here in this temple talking to these people, not making crosses and making fences and making cabinets for my earthly father. I had to be about my Father's business. He was letting them know that he knew he was the Son of God. The Bible doesn't tell us when he became aware of this, but he said he was aware of it at the age of 12. That he was the Son of God, because he said, "I must be about my Father's business." He was telling everybody that I am the Messiah. I am the Son of God. I have something to do, and I have to be about my Father's business. See, you got to know what your Father has for you to do. I'm glad you asked. I heard you when you asked me. How can I know? By studying the Word of God. He'll let you know what he has for you to do. The fact is known by Jesus at the age of 12, he was conscious of the unique relationship with God, a relationship unlike other children. He had a relationship with the Father, that a relationship that had been going on since before the beginning of time, before he said, "Let us go make man." Jesus had a relationship with his Father. I stop by to tell you that the relationship that you have with your Father is an important relationship. I'm talking about your Heavenly Father. You have to have a unique relationship. Nobody might not understand the relationship that you have with your Father. It's a unique, it's different, and you cannot, sometimes you can't put your finger on it, but it's a relationship that is awful good, and you won't realize how good it is until you knee you in the relationship and the person that you have the relationship with, they are no longer there. I told this before because it's important to me in my life. I had a relationship with my earthly father. It was better than I thought it was because I looked at it from where I was standing. I did not look at it from where he was standing. I remember I was 23 years old, had my college degree, had a job, working every day, but I didn't have a ride. And my daddy said, boy, we need to get you a vehicle. And he carried me to Gerlach Chevrolet right up here on the corner. And he walked in there and the owner saw us when he came in. He said, Alex, what can I do for you? He said, well, this is my boy and he needs a car. He said, come on, I got the one right here. Walked out there, and it was a 1963 327 four-bath Chevrolet, sky blue outside and inside. He said, this is what he need. He said, this your boy? He said, yes, this is my son. I said, is he working? He said, yes. I said, where he work? He said, he works for Okaloosa County School Board. He said, he can have it for $1,900. And I walked out, didn't have a credit reference, but because of the relationship I had with my daddy and because of the relationship my daddy had with somebody else, you can get what you need. Why are you telling us that, Maggie? Because if you got a relationship with Lord God Almighty, you can get whatever you need. You might not get it as easy as you think, but God, your heavenly Father, will provide just what you need. You won't do without. You will have whatever you need, but you got to have a relationship. Relationship is important, and if you got the relationship with your Father, everything will be all right. Every human being need to place him or herself under the care of God. If you place yourself under the care of God, you will get what you need because he'll shelter you. He will provide. And just because if you observe him in what he does and you emulate him, you try to be just like him, if you like him in everything you do and say, everything will be all right. Jesus, if you remember when you studied the book of John, Jesus would often say, whatever I do, I do to the glory of my Father. He never did anything that would not bring glory to God because he understood that he was under the watchful eye of Lord God Almighty. He had to be about his Father's business. And my thing to you today is that you need to be about your Father's business and do the things that God have for you to do. Every one of us were adopted in the family of God because of his Son, Jesus Christ, and you need to be about your Father's business because it's getting late in the daytime and the sun is going down. You got to understand that it won't be daylight all the time and you can't work when it's dark, but you got to know about the relationship that you have with your heavenly Father. If your earthly relationship is not all right with your earthly Father, I say this to myself, don't look at your earthly Father, look at yourself and see what you need to do. But if you get a relationship with your heavenly Father, he'll work it out and things will be all right. Might not like it right now because I'm looking at my earthly Father comparing it to my heavenly Father. If one of them's not right, the other one won't be right. I beg to differ. Your heavenly Father will always be right because he got your best interests at heart. You got to understand, you got to be about your Father's business. And sometime when you're doing business in your daddy's name, things won't go like you want it to go. You remember, don't you? On Calvary, it went the way the Father wanted it to go. But the Son that had to go through it, he wanted to do the will of the Father. So he went ahead and went through it. See, sometime down here, we don't want to do the will of our earthly Father. But I tell you, turn it over to your heavenly Father and everything will be all right. But you got to turn it over to them. And when you turn it over to him, everything will be all right. Jesus, and all the time, after those 12 years, whatever his Father wanted him to do, he did it. And the Bible tells us that he went back home with them and humbled himself and submitted himself unto them. And after the death of Joseph, he was the breadwinner. But he did like his Father wanted him to do. I'm through. I just thought of something I want to tell you. And I read this in some books with Jewish fables and Jewish stories in it. Said once Joseph and Jesus was working on a file cabinet for another family, and they made the file cabinet. And they finished it and got it ready to take to them. And when they got ready to take it to them, there was no way they could get it out the door. They couldn't get it out the door. And the story goes something like this. I don't remember exactly how it went. It said, but Joseph left for a little time. And the story says Jesus grabbed the door and pulled it. And said, when Joseph come back in, he said, let's try it again. They grabbed it and it went out the door. Now, let me tell you my story. Since this is Father's Day, I have a Father's Day story. There was a father and he had one son. His first child that was born was a son. And he had always told his son, said, son, whenever you're in trouble, said, I will always be there. I will be there no matter what. I will be there. And they lived in a country where earthquakes were prevalent. And he was 6 years old and he had gone to school. It was a large school and he was in class and they had a massive earthquake. And it come right through the school. His classroom was flattened almost. And everybody, they thought everybody in there was dead. And he heard about the earthquake and he went to the school looking for his son. Couldn't find him. He walked around the school. His son's classroom was at the back of the school, so he walked around to the back of the school. Let's say his name was TJ. TJ is one of my buddies. Is he asleep over there? Okay. He said his name was TJ. And the father went to the back of the room, back of the school, and he started hollering, TJ! TJ! And he never did hear nothing. And all the rubbish was on there. He stayed out there, and his wife come looking for him, and she found him. She said, are you going to stay here? He said, yeah, I'm going to stay here. He said, because I promised my son that whenever, if ever anything ever happened to him, I would be there with him. And he stayed there, and he just, inside of him, he just knew his son was in there, and he was alive. So he started digging. Everybody come by, they'd look at him. They said, man, you crazy. I said, if he's in there, he's dead. But he said, I promised my son that I would always be there when he needed me. He said, and if this is his classroom, he's in there, he's alive, and he needs me. The story says he dug for 2 hours, 4 hours, 8 hours, 16. He said he just dug. The story says he was there for 38 hours digging for his son. Said every time he started digging, he'd call his son's name. Hands bloody and knees bloody where he was digging for his son. Said all of a sudden, he said, TJ, he said, Daddy. And said the next thing his son said was, Daddy, I told them that you would come find me. I told him. See, when you have a relationship
The relationship is valuable, but you have to make sure that you are bona fide and you're on the word of God. He had promised his son that I will always be there. And the story goes, and they always end on a positive note, and that's good. So it was a covey. The roof fell, and it only fell so far. It did not go all the way to the floor. And so all of those little children were in there, and they was huddled around TJ because TJ had told them, my daddy is coming. My daddy is coming. Brothers and sisters, and I don't care what your situation is, if you believe that your daddy is coming, can't anybody change your mind? You got to know that you know, and that's because you have the relationship. You must be about your father's business. With that, we'll extend an invitation for you to become a member of the Church of Jesus Christ, which happens to be located at 603 MLK. We'll invite you to come to Christ just as you are. Don't try to change anything, just come. Weary, wounded, and sad, just come. Just come to Christ, and Christ will take you just as you are. And when he finishes with you, all of your trouble and your cares, everything will be over. Will you come to Christ today? If you don't know Christ as Lord and Savior, we'll extend you an invitation to come to Christ. Will you come? Will you come? Will you come? God bless you.